Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you.
You guys, we have another exciting episode for you today.
We are talking with a powerhouse of a woman, Julie Tran, who is a marriage coach for coaches, healers, and entrepreneurs.
When we were sitting down interviewing Julie Tran, literally, I was like, I've done a lot of work in my relationship, but as I was hearing her speak and the way that she views the miscommunication, the assumptions, the things that we are all holding over our husbands or men was just simply so eye-opening and inspiring. This episode is perfect for you if you are craving for your husband to lead more in your relationship. So maybe you are a high-achieving woman or you always feel like you're the one leading, but what would it look like for you to inspire him to lead?
Julie helps women transform resentment into what she calls gooey love so that they can serve from deep nourishment without needing their husbands to do the work. Her approach blends feminine energetics with practical, heart-centered relationship skills centered on women becoming her and inspiring their husbands to rise instead of forcing them to change. She creates a field of mutual nourishment and support at home because when a woman feels emotionally safe, she multiplies love in the world. She's free to live her purpose, grow her impact and income, and model healthy love for her children.
With that being said, enjoy this episode.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh my God. I'm so excited you're here. I feel like we finally got to meet in person for the first time. We've been talking on Instagram.
For like almost a year.
Yeah. We've had phone calls. We've had Zoom dates.
I know.
But never actually met in person.
I know. So glad to. So great to finally meet you.
Yeah.
I'm like, she's my people. And like, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time.
I love that.
And I wish that we lived closer together because I know you guys have amazing events. And I'm like, dang, you know, but one day.
Yeah, make it happen. Yeah.
You're not that far. One of my friends just moved to Vegas. So okay. I'm going to start going to Vegas soon more. So
that's to.
Like literally can just pop right over.
Yeah. Go to the club.
Those days.
I know.
If the club is at 7 p.m., then yes.
Or if it's like during the day.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll go home and have some tea.
Yeah.
Literally.
And breath work.
Yeah.
I just thought we should create a reel where like at the club, but we also have like the incense.
And yeah, I know, like that's
wrong.
Yeah.
No, that is literally the type of, you're speaking my language.
We actually just went to Daybreakers in Los Angeles, which is a sober dance party in the morning on a Sunday morning. And it was so fun. Like, and I was telling her, I've wanted to do it for a long time. They started in 2018 or 19. And then obviously during COVID stopped and they brought it back. And there's just such a different energy when you're not around like a bunch of intoxicated people and everyone's just like, I feel like people dance harder, like they just go all out, they're in it, and it's
like
just,
a static dance.
Yes. Well, it was just like DJ,
they were just having a good time.
Yeah, they're just in it and dancing. Yeah. And it was amazing. We need more of that.
That's the future of partying. I think
so too.
Yeah
It's definitely, I don't know if it's like this in Vegas, but it's definitely transitioning in San Diego. Like people are now booking out DJ events and clubs are opening up at 1, so you can be out by 4. And I'm just like, wait, what? Like, it's starting to happen where people are starting to do things through the day and not necessarily go into the night because they're like, I still need to be in bed by 8.
Yeah.
Wear my blue light blockers.
Put our face tape
and
on.
And then do my face tape on and go to bed.
I love it. It's just like this gives me hope for humanity.
You know? Yes.
All right. So in order to get started, we get to talk all about relationships with you.
My favorite topic.
Which is your
of all time.
Favorite topic of all time. And I think starting with like your own journey within your own relationship, if you're open to talking about that.
Absolutely.
Which I know you share about it so much online. I read your emails and they're just so good. And so let's start at the beginning of maybe like, I don't know what you want to say, even before you got married or like the early stages of marriage. And how that was for you.
Okay. Are you guys open to me being like super raw and authentic?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Give it all.
Give us
like no sugarcoating.
Oh, yeah. No. There's no sugarcoating here.
I would say that, you know, I'm your typical high achiever. my dream as an immigrant child, like growing up with a family of six kids on welfare, like literally in my entire family, we all lived in one bedroom at one point in time with like our aunts and uncles in the rest of the bedrooms. But so as a child, my dad, I always looked up to him. He hustled his ass off. He went to school full time and then also like worked full time, you know, taking care of a family of eight. But he always instilled in me that you can do anything that you want. And so I always looked up to him. He worked in corporate America. And I'm like, I'm going to be a banker. Like, I'm going to be a fucking badass on Wall Street. So I did the thing. Like, I climbed the corporate ladder. I didn't do Wall Street, but I worked in investments and finance. And when I left, I was there for 15 years. By the time I left, I was a managing director. So I did all the things. On the outside, it looked amazing. Like, I checked all the boxes. I had the title, I had the income, I had the big fancy house. Like, my husband and I literally, we built our house in Connecticut in one of the fanciest zip codes, like when we were in our early 30s. So all that's to say, like, I was a climber, right? But everything looked good on the outside. But what people didn't realize and don't see on the inside behind the Instagram pictures is my husband and I were constantly bickering. Mm-hmm. We would bicker about like shit that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, did you wipe the counter? How come you didn't wipe the counter? Why did you leave that out? Yeah. You know, and like driving, for example, you know, like if somebody wasn't driving the right way, it just felt like a lot of criticism instead of being on the same team.
Mm-hmm. Like a lot of nitpicking.
A lot of nitpicking and a lot of resentment. I felt like he just, if I'm being like super authentic here, because being on the other side of this and understanding, you know, where the blow ups would come from, it's because I had this impression of my husband that he was just not man enough. Mm. You know, like I would have these beliefs like, you know, like if you were a real man, you would not get angry. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the work to control my emotions. I'm doing the work to get out of victim mentality, but you're not. You're stuck in victim mentality, and this the normal day to day life together just felt really hard. And so, it got so bad that to the point where I remember this distinctly. We were having dinner, and at that time, my husband and I were foster parents, and I don't know if I ever told you that.
No.
Yeah, we were. Anyway, that's another podcast episode maybe, but
a whole other journey.
But yeah, we were foster parents for 2 years, and we were parents to two of our foster sons, and so the older one, I remember we were having dinner, and I was sitting at the dinner table, my husband was sitting on the other side, and I feel like maybe we had just gotten fresh off of a fight. I'm not sure, but it was always something where it was hard for me to even look at my husband and be in the same room sometimes. And my son at the time looked at me. He looked at my husband. He looked back at me and he was like, Mama, you shouldn't marry him. Because it felt like I didn't even like him, you know? So, yeah, that's where we were. And I say this, by the way, not to disparage my husband, because he is like my favorite human in the whole world. But I want to just give everyone like my psychology at the time. I felt like my needs weren't being met. I didn't feel emotionally safe. I felt like I was doing everything. I had to take care of, I was the one that was like the lead when it came to parenting. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that's the lead when it comes to, like taking care of the house, finances, like everything. And so there was a lot of resentment, and I felt like I didn't have a partner. I had like another child, right? Mm. And so, yeah, that just continued to manifest in us like not being on, feeling like we're not on the same team, and we just bicker over everything and nothing.
I feel like that's very relatable. Like, I think a lot of women experience that, and I see it all across social media of, you know, they don't know if divorce is the answer. They don't know what the answer is, but their needs are not being met.
Yes.
And they're wanting their husband to step up and be whatever their definition of a husband or a man is, but they don't necessarily maybe even know how to ask for it, but they're,
yeah.
in that same place. So I think that's super relatable.
Yeah. And also we block it too. That's what I realized. Like, I wanted him to be more of a man, to be more of a leader. Because I'm tired, you know, I'm doing it all. I'm tired. But I was actually blocking him from stepping forward because I was controlling everything. Mm. You know, I wouldn't like let him make like a restaurant reservation without me approving it. You know what I mean?
And you're like, so, take me on the date, but I want to plan everything.
Yeah. And also like, tell me how you feel. But then, oh, well, don't say that. Like, that's too much.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to do, you know, I can go into this a little bit more later, but I had to do a lot of inner work and self-reflection on what is it that I actually do want in my relationship? What do I want our cocoon to be? How do I want to make my husband feel in the relationship? And then actually be honest with myself on, you know, what my freaking shadows are that are coming out that's actually blocking it. And that is actually toxic to our relationship.
Mm. I'm so excited to dive deeper because I feel like there's so many women out there, especially the high achiever, the highly ambitious woman, the woman that gets shit done. You know, like, I think in a lot of ways they have this like figure it out energy. And when they're in that energy, it's almost like, well, how does he show up? What does that look like to him? You know, and then they don't really find themselves in that point. But I'm so curious for you, what was like the wake up call where you were like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I want to be in this relationship or not. Like, what did that look like for you? And how did you know that like things couldn't be like this anymore? Mm.
Well, I know that we were on the verge of divorce like 3 times. Actually, like I almost broke up our engagement. Like, we had the conversation. I was like, I can't do this. With me and Chris, like one of the biggest issues that we had was his anger. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's not something that we talk about a lot because it's like, it's tough to talk about as women, you know, but I'm just going to say it. Like, that's what we struggled with. I didn't know how to be with my husband when he gets frustrated and would blow up over stuff. I felt really unsafe and I almost broke off our engagement, but he promised that he would change. Right. And I feel like this is what a lot of women deal with. It's like, you know, you hear these promises, but it actually doesn't, maybe you get changed for like a day or a week, maybe 2 months, but we revert back or your partner reverts back to their old ways. And you're just constantly like in this cycle. And so 3 times I remember like wanting to call it off. But the very last time I distinctly remember that I was on a call with my coach. And my coach wasn't like a relationship coach. She was more of a life coach. And we were working on like self-love. But things in my relationship kept coming up. And I said to her, you know, I'm so unhappy, but I can't leave because of the kids. But I feel like I'm dying. I can't stay. And it's just like, you know, this just like sucks. This is my life. Like, this is just what I have to accept. And she called me out. God bless her. She said, Julie, you are acting like you don't have a choice. But you do have a choice. No one is holding a gun to your head. You can leave or you can go. You just don't like the consequences of either one. But if you want to be a queen, if you want to be the woman that you are calling in, then you have to learn to accept the consequences of your choices. And so that was like one of those like mic drop moments for me. I'm like, oh shit. Yeah, right. I'm not. I'm just sitting here like being victim and blaming my husband. But really, I'm not owning the consequences of my choices, either one, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was a moment I was like, I'm going to stay. I'm going all in on my marriage. I'm not going to blame him anymore. And I'm going to do my best to show up as the best version of me possible. That was a moment that changed everything.
Wow. Like, okay, so what next?
Yeah. What did that mean next? Like, so how did, you know, because I think there's so many dynamics here that you're talking about. It looks like you took ownership and you started to want to change. Sometimes it's so easy to be like, well, they need to change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're the people that they should be changing. Why are they not showing up more as the leader? Why are they not taking more control? Why are they not doing things? So focusing on you, like, what did the shift start to look like within yourself?
Well, what it looks like to really choose your relationship is no more like blaming, no more like, you know, no more of the notion of like, I can only love him better if he loves me better. I can stop blaming him or stop being defensive if he stops being defensive. There's like no more of that. It's actually taking responsibility and like personal accountability. Every single time that there's like a trigger that comes up, you get into one of your spirals. And as it's hard as, especially initially, at this point, it's like really like it's second nature to me and it's happened so fast. But initially, it's like it feels like you're crawling through glass. Because you're just shedding your ego. You're like, what's going on? Is this safe? You know?
Yeah. Is it fair to say it's like you're learning to love without conditions? You're learning to be like, I'm going to show up and love this person even if they don't show up in the capacity I want or need them to.
I think that's a part of it. Yes, that's like, that is the frequency of it. Everything is held in love. But also love also means holding them accountable too. Mm. Love also means speaking up authentically for what you want and what you desire. Love also means seeing deeper beneath their behaviors. So my husband would get angry, the version of me before would emasculate him. Like I'm the person that a lot of, you know, everybody has their own, you know, survival instincts. Mine is to fight. Mm-hmm. You know, some people would freeze under those situations. My reaction would be to fight back and I would cut him down. Right. But that version of me couldn't see the human being underneath the behavior. So love also looks like, you know, seeing who he really is as a man, but also not co-signing on behavior that's not healthy and learning. And I think this is the most important part. This is where we can take, where we take radical responsibility for how we show up in our relationship, is learning new skills on how to express yourself in a way that inspires your husband to want to hear what you have to say, mm-hmm. instead of him shutting down or like, you know, or attacking you or whatever, right? It's a skill. And I feel like, and that's what I do as a coach. I teach women how to express their needs and desires and in a way that inspires their partner to rise. Because to me, that creates emotional safety. So like if you have a need and a desire for your partner to speak to you in a calmer voice, you can't, if you approach it like the way I did, which is calm down, yeah. Right? He ain't gonna listen.
Yeah.
So love is doing the work, learning the skills, and not just like the like what to say, but the frequency of how you express yourself such that your partner feels seen and such that he feels like a human being, not the opposite, which is dehumanizing him, right? And that he wants to give you what you desire. And beyond that, like you want to give him what he desires too. So I forgot the original question. No, I don't know where we're going.
You answered it.
I think that's ultimately like what the provider or the man in a relationship wants. And I think women want to give it too, but they do want to give to us.
Oh my God. Nothing makes them more happy than to make their woman approve of them and feel be happy
good.
With them.
Yeah.
Feel good. That's like one of the, that's another thing that I think a lot of women don't understand is that you're, despite, you know, if you're in a hard season right now and it feels like you're not on the same team and you feel like your husband doesn't care, doesn't love you, because if he did care, if he did love you, then he would do the work. Like if you're in that conversation, just know that he really does. He loves you. Like you're his goddess. But there are things that there are ways that you're showing up that's blocking him from giving. Right? Like there are ways that you're not receiving, that you're not seeing him, and it doesn't motivate him to show up fully for you.
Mm-hmm. Can you give some examples of like the clients that you've worked with where the women, they are blocking themselves?
Yes. So I love this story because I feel like it's so relatable. So I had a client who, when she first started working with me, She I think she had like a 3 month old or so, and she was on the verge of calling it off with her partner. They've been together for 7 years. She's tried everything. Like she's like a legit like shaman, you know, trained, and she's a healer and everything, and she can support other people. But when it came to her own relationship, she was like lost, right? And it was simple things like hey, can you get me the diaper? It would lead to a fight, you know? And I think that if she were to tell the story to, you know, your average person, right? They would say, God, yeah, you know, he's an asshole. Like, what, you know, why he needs to support you. And there's something wrong with this picture. There's something wrong with him. But I hear that. And what I hear is that he isn't empowered to support. Mm. What I hear is that, because, you know, she shared a little bit more about the story and like what, you know, how, what his response is, was, and it was something along the lines of, you know, I never do anything right. So why bother?
You hear that a lot.
Yes, yes. So it's not about like him not wanting to support her. He actually wants to, but what she didn't realize is how she's been blocking him from supporting her because she's been managing him, right? There's a particular mm-hmm. way she wants things done. Mm-hmm. And if it's outside of that, she'll let him know. So it's energy like that where you're not letting him lead. And you're controlling, you know, how he does things. That's one of the most common things that I see.
Mm. We had this topic on marriage and in another conversation. And below the post, you know, a lot of men commented on this particular reel we had. And that was one of the comments that was like proliferated again and again. Is mm-hmm. like, why bother? I can't do anything right anyways.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's something that I love to teach women in my programs is how to see their husband. Because in that moment, he's not feeling seen. Not mm-hmm. even just in that moment. It's been happening for 7 years, mm-hmm. you know. So I love teaching women, like, how to really see their partner. And then once they start doing that, it's like he just shows up as a different person. It's amazing. Like, my husband, for example, before, I felt totally unsupported, and whenever he would, you know, help me with the chores or something, there was this energy of like, I don't know, like blame, I think or exasperation that's what I'm feeling into. So I felt like, I just felt like, you know, he wasn't helping from like a happy spirit, right? But now he's a completely human being. Like, not, and it's not even just about him helping me. It's just like who he is as a human being. Like before, he was very like stuck in like victim mindset, like I was saying before. But now he's like creating his own life. He's like working out. What I mean by that is that he actually cares about his quality of life. And that's not who he was before. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, working in corporate, grinding, constantly on his phone, constantly needing to be there for other people, which is like one of the beautiful qualities about him, but it left him really angry and resentful, and he took it out on the family, right? But now he's like, you know, he's taking care of himself, he's present, he's loving, and he's gooey, and he's like, he's the softest, yummiest person that like I know. That wasn't him before. So when you start to do this work, you start to see your partner, he gets to like grow into this human being that you're like, wait, who is this? You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's like one of the biggest gifts in a relationship, because then you nourish him, mm-hmm. then he starts to nourish you more. And then you guys have like this infinity loop of like of nourishment, and then your marriage garden just like goes wild.
Oh, I love this so much. Yeah. I mean, I've seen this in Sparks in our own relationship. We can both attest to mm-hmm. that. Like, yeah. Just so many things. When you finally mm-hmm. see them and you're like, wow,
yeah,
I completely missed that. Mm, yes. I didn't see how you were showing up for me. And also, I think the other thing that I've learned too is like the way that they show up is not always the way I want them to show up, which mm-hmm. is kind of going back to what you said. But just like, it's so easy to get in the place of like, well, I show up this way, so I want you to do the same too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then you don't see at all
the other
how they are have been showing up or the way that they've been yeah. being there for you. Like, I know in a lot of our season right now with Nick in general, like we've talked about this so many times, but like he helps me out with the laundry. I don't do the laundry. He doesn't do the dishes. And I just say, thank you. And I see you. It's so nice and so yeah. sweet, versus I can get hard on him and say, you're not helping me in this way. And I think there's always something for women. Sometimes, like, even though if you get to that place where like, I see you are helping me, but I want more. Mm-hmm. And so what would you say to women that are in that place where like, I know my husband helps around the house, or he provides me through money, but I want more.
Yeah.
What would you say to that?
Desire everything and be attached to nothing.
Ooh, say it louder. What does that mean?
That means your desires are beautiful, that you want more. Like, that's part of the feminine. You know, that's what makes the world go around, right? Like, our desires, like, the more we get, the more we want. Yeah. It never ends, right? But it's the attachment to having it and having it in a particular way at the right time is what blocks love. Because when you're in that place, there's no longer, it's more about you and your ego, right? And I don't want to say this, it's not in a disparaging way, it's more just like the what is. Because if you really look at it, it's more from a place of control. And it's not serving love. So it's actually a really beautiful inquiry for every woman in the space, and me continually too, is asking myself, you know, what would serve love best here? What does that mean? And if you really investigated this, or I'll just share like the place that I've gone to. It's never about the thing. It's never about him growing the way that I want to, or me being served the way that I want to all the time. It's about what is in the best interest of his soul expansion.
There's so many things that are. We do this often.
I love that.
All of our events too. When
silent clap.
Give everyone a heads up. We're really bad about not telling
people. We just do it on the fly.
Yeah, I know. Like, this is working.
Yeah.
This hits.
I caught on.
I mean, like, keep going. It's kind of our way of, like, not
interfering. Yeah, I love that. I know Lindsay used to do this thing when we would go to her events. This, like, little thing. But yeah, and I just feel like, and it's not even about being a martyr, because I want to delete that way of being, because I think that martyrdom is probably one of the most toxic frequency in a marriage, because it leads to so much resentment. So it's not being a martyr. It's not being like a good person per se. I mean, everybody wants to be a good person, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's just more about what works, you know, what works. Because like, if your husband knows that you got his back. But no, you don't got his ego's back. You got his soul's back, right? Like, that's a whole nother game that you guys are playing. And he's going to be looking out for your soul too. That's who you want on your team, right? You don't need somebody on your team that's like fluffing your ego. I mean, that's nice sometimes, let's be honest. Yeah, yeah. But like, if I know my husband is here for my like greatest, and he wouldn't say it in these words because he's not, you know, he's not a coach and he's not like in this work, in the spiritual work as I am, but I know that he got my soul's back. I know that if I'm doing things from my ego, that he would feel it and he would call me out on it. And when we're both, you know, calling each other up and calling each other forward to our highest soul alignment, I just feel like you can't lose.
So true.
Yeah.
I love this so much because I think sometimes as women, I've done this too. The reason I can say this is because I've been through this myself, but it's so easy to forget that they're also having their own soul expansion on this world. Like, they are also here to figure out what's best for them in this lifetime and to evolve and to transform or to heal or whatever. And it's like, sometimes I think about it in the way of like, well, why am I trying to play God?
Yes.
By trying to control the way that their soul is transforming. And I'm like, if I could just easily just be like, look, I will do whatever you need to support your soul and whatever you feel called to. That means I got to take the hands off the wheel. Like, I'm not driving. I could drive my car, but I'm not driving yours. So like, what does it look like just to do that? And like, the energy of that is like the unattachment and like seeing your husband or the person that you're in relationship with, and honestly, any human in life, knowing that they're here to live their lifetime in the way that their soul feels called. Yeah. Why am I here to play God and change that for them?
Yeah, like that reminds me of how I used to resent my husband so much for not doing the work. Because he's built differently. So he used to, when I started doing this work and doing healing and inner child work and, you know, taking responsibility for my triggers and my childhood and all of that stuff, I would share this, what I'm learning with him. And he was like, yeah, that's good for you. That's good for you. You know, like, I'm good. Like, I don't have any problems. Like, but you get angry so much.
Yeah. You're like, but I see him. Just kidding. Yeah.
I know. I'm like, but I
You're like, okay.
Okay.
Sure.
But
this is a good topic.
Yeah. Keep going. Yeah, I can really go down.
We love it. No, this is a really good one. I think so many women struggle, especially when you start the work first. You're like, but honey, come with me.
Yes.
Why aren't you coming with me?
Yes. And well, for me, it was more like, you got to fix yourself. You gotta do that, because look at where our relationship is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing my part. What about you? So I want to just my heart goes out to women who are in this position, because it all comes from a good place, right? Mm-hmm. We want the best for our partners and we want the best for our family and everything. But the thing is, like, we only see where a lot of these women are, and where I was too, is we only see things from one lens. Mm-hmm. And that lens is still predominantly coming from our ego and our need to have things a certain way, our need to be loved a certain way, our need to have our life look a certain way, right? And our husband look a certain way. So a lot of this is very subconscious, but with me and my husband, it just wasn't working. Like, me trying to get him to change, me trying to, like, fix him and stuff, it just wasn't working. It was actually making my relationship worse. And it's ironic, because doing this type of work is supposed to give you more freedom and more love. And I got that everywhere else. I got that in business. I felt the best in my body I had ever felt before. But when it came to my marriage, we were just hitting the same roadblocks over and over again, and if not even worse, because I became more resentful because I knew what's possible and he wasn't stepping up. So for me, it's been a journey to do some soul searching on that, and to ask myself, why am I so attached to him doing the work in the way that I need him to do the work? What is it bringing up in me, you know? And that was like simple. It's just this fear of being inadequate. Mm. You know, if my husband doesn't show up a certain way, then that means that, you know, I'm not enough. When I'm not going to have the relationship that I want. So, you know, it's like it's all focused on me. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, there's so many layers to this. But I would say most recently what has supported me is in just understanding that that's not his sole path. Mm-hmm. And it's fine. Like, can it's fine. What if it's not a catastrophe? For me, at least, right? It's not a catastrophe. What if his soul path is to vibrate at a certain place, like more in this, you know, in this world, very like earthy, right? And what if it's a balance to where I'm at, which can be very like up here, mm-hmm. right? And what if that is like such a juicy, beautiful harmony for our relationship? So I've just been like sitting with that. And it also helps that I worked with a psychic at the time who like looked into his, you know, his, I don't know if I'm saying this, but
Akashic records
mm-hmm. and everything. She's like, he's not meant to do that.
Yeah, you're like, wrong program here.
She's like, she doesn't see that's who he is. Mm-hmm. So why am I going to fight who his soul actually is, right? And what he's here to do. And so that gave me a lot of peace. But then there's also like the real world. Like, how do you navigate stuff in the real world? And the place that I've gotten to, and this is what I teach my clients, is that like it's, if he can meet your needs emotionally, or at least most of it, like if you can create emotional safety in your relationship, then could that be okay with you that he's not, you know, that he's not talking about like astrology with you, or like, you know, who God is with you? Like, is that, could you have peace with that? And the answer for me is like, yes. Mm-hmm. Like if I feel safe and loved with him, I don't need anything else. You know, in fact, I think it's actually helpful for him not to be up here. Like, yeah. I am.
One thing I think about is like my mom and dad's story a little bit. Yeah. Like my mom, she found Christianity and she dove deep into Christianity and the Bible and church. And she like so deeply cleared that my dad would go with her.
Yeah.
And originally it created so much tension and so much chaos, because he was like, I don't feel called to go. I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. And she's like, but I want you to go. Like, there's so mm-hmm. much for you to receive here.
Yeah.
And she wanted to bring him on this side. And I think the minute that she like let go, now they go to church every single day together. Yeah. not every weekend, but most weekends together, and he wants to go to church and he wants that. But to kind of bring this all, put the bow on the what you're talking about, it's like the minute that we let go, we give them space to find their way in the whatever way.
Yeah.
But also, like, my mom wasn't intentionally doing that so that she could be like, well, let me, like, manipulate it. I'll act like I'm attached and then, like, hopefully he gets to church. Like, mm-hmm. No, her intention was purely like, well, I've got to this place where my dad, Lucho, like, maybe he doesn't end up going to church, but I will. You know, like, I'll keep going because mm-hmm. I feel called to go. And if he decides to go with me, that's great. And I think that's an example in all areas of life that we can continue to come back to. It's like, well, if I find it, that's great. And but I'm not going to force it on yeah. him. And if he feels called to come through, he will. But I'm also not attached if he doesn't.
Exactly. Exactly. The way I like to think about it is that your desires are an invitation. Mm-hmm. They're not a demand. You know, they're not a demand. They're not commands. If you're in a dynamic where you're forcing your husband to do anything, like it feels heavy. It feels sticky. It's a lot of responsibility. You're going to feel like a mom and he's going to feel like a boy. And it's like, it throws off the polarity. That's not where you want to be. That's another way that women block, you know, connection and feeling safe in their relationship. But yeah, just desires are invitations.
I said that.
Yeah, and like that's the work though, because you know it sounds simple, mm. ooh, but the work behind that to let go of control, that is the juice right there.
How does someone start that process? Because I think a lot of women, not just women, just say human beings.
Yeah.
Well, I will say women. We like to control things. We like to expect things. We want things done a certain way. What are some practices that women can lean into to
let go?
Take the hand off of the wheel a little bit.
Mm. Well, I think the first one is just having the awareness that does it serve you? You know, is it really serving love? Like, how is that going for you so far? You know, just asking yourself that question. Because if it's not going well, then insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, mm-hmm. right? So I would say just test what it looks like to let go of one decision a day and let him lead, let him fail, let him make the wrong decision. That's it, right? Because in the long run, that's a better investment for you in the emotional capital of your relationship than being right about something, being right about the right way to you know, to get from point A to point B.
Something I love too that you're speaking to when you said, oh, it's okay if he doesn't want to talk about astrology or about this subject or whatever. I think it's so common to want to have all those needs met with our partner mm-hmm. instead of realizing like maybe that's a conversation you have with a friend. Maybe mm-hmm. that's like a need that's met, you know, in a different way. Like my dad loves to travel. Like he loves to go take photographs. My mom's gone with him a couple times, but that's not her thing. She thinks it's boring. She's a doer. And I've gotten to see this beautiful dynamic where she lets him go and do the photography and like do those trips and has accepted like, yeah, that's not my thing, but go do it. Like accept it, you know, and he finds friends that are into that. He doesn't get that from her, but he can still enjoy his love in his own way, and she's doing her own thing. And I think that's like a hard thing to remedy too sometimes, because you want your partner to be into the things you're into, like mm-hmm. you want to do all the things with them.
Yeah, I love that example, because then I think again, like the work always comes back to you, why mm-hmm. why are you attached to doing everything with your husband? Is there a void that you're trying to fill with that? Mm-hmm. And that's the work. It's honestly, so, and at a certain level, it's not even about him. Like, it's mm-hmm. about you, and it's mm-hmm. about your soul expansion. And God wants you to feel whole and complete, you know, and sovereign. Not to be, you know, God wants you obviously to have love and to be in like a beautiful, healthy relationship. But to have that, you got to be whole and sovereign yourself first.
Yeah. What are some of the tools or like, what are some of the things that you start with to help women see their husbands or their partners as not just like you kind of like we forget their people that they're having their own experience. Like, where do you start with that? Because I think a lot of women, I would imagine, and tell me if I'm wrong, are meeting you at the place where they're at the last straw. They're just like, mm-hmm. It's been 7 years and you know, he doesn't fold the laundry the right way. You know,
I'm
out of here. Yeah. So where do you start with that? Like, how do they show up and start to see them differently? Or how did you?
Yeah, I'll just also say that I love it when women come to me. So I don't love that they're in that place.
Yeah.
But that is my wheelhouse. When women are like fed up and I'm like their last, you know.
Resort,
you know. Like they've done couples therapy, they've done plant medicine, they've done 15 years of energy healing, they're a shaman and everything. And it's like, come here, I got you, girl.
She's like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah, because, you know, I just want to speak to that real quick. I feel like I want to give women hope, because if you feel like you've been doing so much healing work, but it just hasn't really translated into your marriage, and you're like, well, maybe we're not meant to be together. What I want to say to you is that the work you've been doing is beautiful, but you're using the wrong, it's like you're trying to dig a well with a spoon, but there's another tool. Like there's a golden shovel, yeah. Like right next to you, right? Hello, that's me. Yeah. Right? You've just been using the wrong tools or the wrong guide to support you with your marriage. You know, the tools that we learn for business and personal development, they're beautiful, but there is a gap in translating that into your marriage. And so, so just a little sidebar, but your question was, where do women start to see their husband? I think that oftentimes it's hard to see our husband when we feel unsafe. Mm-hmm. So why do we feel unsafe? In what scenarios do we feel unsafe? One predominant one is when we feel like when we can't express ourselves, when we can't express our feelings authentically. So the first step that that I would invite women to start looking at is learning how to express your feelings to your partner in a way that is safe. So in a way that he can hear you instead of feeling blamed. That just frees up so much congested energy in your body. Because so often something happens, like he makes a comment that hurts you. And it's just like stuck right here. You don't know what to say. And anything you've said in the past would have led to a fight. But that's because you haven't learned how to express your feelings responsibly without blaming him. So it's so simple. It's a practice, but it's literally like I feel statements, you know, like when you said that, when you raised your voice, I felt scared. I'm not saying, you need to stop or like calm down or what's wrong with you. Right. Those are complaints. Right. That's like, that you start like dehumanizing them when you speak in that way, and they're going to shut down. So it's also just common sense, right? First step is like learning how to express yourself, because then you're going to start feeling safe. And then and when you start to feel that the opening in your body just by being able to express how you feel, like you have more capacity and more access to seeing him. Okay. So when that's available to you, the most simple thing that I can share now is just remembering that there's a positive intention behind everything that he does. Mm. Like, so if you can see him for his higher intention instead of the behavior. So for example, when my husband used to get road rage, right? He doesn't, that rarely happens now, but I used to feel mortified because I used to make it mean that, you know, if he was more responsible, then he would check his emotions. He wouldn't, you know, get angry. If he was more of an adult, you just don't like lash out and you just get angry and rage, right? So I couldn't see his intention back then other than that he was being a child, like literally. But now what I see when that happens is that he's just trying to protect us. Mm. I don't like the way he's doing it. I feel more unsafe that he's, you know, that he's in this space. But if I can see that there's good intention there, that he's trying to protect us. And if I name that, you know, like I see that you're trying to protect us, then okay, I just disarmed him. And I'm not doing it as a strategy, right? I'm just doing it because I want to be really present with who he is. And we start there. Yeah, I mean, I could go on and on.
I love it. No, I'm like, keep going.
Yeah. Oh, so... since you asked, just one more note on this, one more note, because this is going to tie back to what I was sharing before about women who've done this work, right? And just feel stuck. A lot of times we do this, we have all these beautiful healing modalities, like, you know, energy healing and EFT and astrology, you name it, human design, right? All of those things I find are helpful, but they kind of, they're limited because it only shifts your energy. What you really need to do is shift your patterns. So you can spend 15 years doing energy work and energy healing and, you know, have a 3-hour self-care practice, right? But if you're not changing the patterns of how you communicate in real life, you're going to be back taking, you know, needing 8 hours of self-care just to feel okay. And so that's part of, that's a big piece of how I coach my clients, is to support them in changing the patterns in your relationship so that you can see him more clearly, so that he can see you more clearly. And then you guys can have a productive conversation about changes that need to happen.
Yeah. Mic drop.
It's so important, because I think that's the part, you know, I at one point was like, I'm going to coach people on communication because I think communication is the key.
Yeah.
Which I also don't want. It's kind of like you hear relationship advice and you're like, communication is the key. And I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? And it's literally the essence, the frequency, and how you communicate something, how you deliver something changes everything. Mm-hmm. But also just like to reflect back to you, it's also the intention that you have, like the presence that you have. Like, it's not a strategy. Like, it's so easy to get into this place of like, well, I know how to carry a conversation. Let me just pull this lever and let me just pull this lever. And how do I deliver? Because that's not embodiment. That's not actually changing the patterns. That's not actually living and breathing and communicating through this new way of showing up in relationship. And I'm so glad that you called that out and that you're speaking to that, because we even see that so much. I mean, a part of our challenge that we recently launched, we're like, I don't want to create another course. I don't want to create more information. I want to create habits. I want to create change. Yes. I want to create embodiment. And we have to be willing to move through those things. And it means kind of meeting your edges, meeting the parts that have a little bit of tension. You're like, oh, this doesn't feel comfortable. But I got to start to shift it. And it's, in order to shift it, you got to start shifting it. You got to put some oil on there. Yeah. You got to do things differently versus continuing living in the same way. So I'm just so grateful that you've been on to talk about this on the podcast, because it is such an important conversation. And the way that you're talking about it is tactical, real change. Mm-hmm. When it comes to relationship work, it's so easy to hear things and say like, well, it's supposed to look that way. How do I get there? What's the path to get there? What's the bridge to actually do that? And today I feel like you really gave a lot of really solid examples on that process.
And you're giving hope, I think, and your evidence that like you don't have to leave. You don't have to, you could be at your rope's end and like completely shift your relationship and marriage. Like, you don't have to accept if you're not happy in the current circumstances, which I think is beautiful, because like to commit to someone and want to go through life together and actually like break past the chapter where maybe it feels like there's no next step is so beautiful. Like, that is such a gift to offer people.
Thank
that you don't have to give up on your marriage, you know?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I can only talk about this because I've been through it. Like, mm-hmm. I've been the woman who felt stuck because I'm doing the work and my husband's not. He's not even interested in couples therapy. So I'm like, okay, well, what do I do now? You know, I not have any choices, mm-hmm. right? If he's not doing the work and I am, but I want our marriage to be better, then I remember back then just feeling so resigned, feeling like, fine, I guess I just have to accept that this is my life, right? And I want to give women hope that they don't have to. Actually, there's another way. And actually, I think that this way is better than any other modality. And what I mean is, like, by working on yourself and learning how to express yourself in a way that inspires him to rise. Like, bottom line, if you can do the work and create change and influence change without you, without forcing it, that is so much power that you have. And I don't mean power as in like power trip way, but like feeling empowered in your own life. You're not dependent on him to show up a certain way for you to feel whole. You know, you have control over your life. You don't need, there are no conditions for you to be happy. Like, you're your own condition. So I just want to give, I love giving women hope, because this is, they're at like a place, they're at a threshold. If they're willing to step over this threshold, and it's in initiation into being the woman that they're meant to be.
All right. Well, as we, that was so good. I just feel like this entire episode has been amazing, and I'm so grateful for you.
Yeah, thank you so
much. As we start to wrap up a little bit, you know, something that we ask all of our guests is just starting to know where you're at in your journey a little bit more. Where do you feel called to be more fully expressed in life, love, or business?
That's a good one. I say in business. I say in business. I feel like in love, I'm like really expressed.
You're like, girl, I got it.
I know. It's like my husband is like, I don't know who I'm gonna get. Like today, one day I have a pole. I have a pole. You know, I'm a pole dancer, and next day I'm a gardener.
I love it. That's awesome.
And so I would say in business, and learning how to translate like what I'm sharing with you here in a way that gives women deep hope and also inspire them to take action. And it's a learning curve for me, because that's not natural for me. I like to, you know, if you know any like tests I've done, any Myers-Briggs personality tests, I'm more of like an introvert, right? And so I really, it's like a stretch for me to be seen. And so that is where like I'm really leaning into like my edges here and being self-expressed and tuning into, okay, what feels authentic to me. I don't want to try to be anyone else. I just want to be me. And how do I do that in the most natural way possible?
I love that.
Yes, bring this more. Share this more. I mean, just how you showed up today, I feel like she showed up so beautifully. I mean, you've expressed yourself so well. And
thank you.
I think just how you shared it today is how people are meant to hear it. And I know you'll find your way on how you're going to deliver that. But women need to hear this. And like you and I have talked about this so much. And like, especially in the entrepreneurship journey or the room that we're going to be in tomorrow, like all those women, you know, that are using their business as the way to things, like they're forgetting about their marriages sometimes. Mm-hmm. And what if they get to have both? And I think at the end of the day, we see that on the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's why we talk about life, love, and business, because we can be fully expressed in both, right? We don't have to pick one. It's just like us choosing how to find that path.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that about you guys. I love when I like tune into your podcast. It's just a variety of conversations from business and relationship to health. And you guys are giving women like empowerment in all aspects of their life, not just business. You know, it's a holistic view of their life. So thank you. Thank you for creating this platform. And I just really appreciate the both of you and appreciate being here.
We're so glad you came. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
Before we go, we want to remind you that you are powerful and deserving of fully expressing who you are. Embracing your journey toward authenticity is a vital part of that process, and we're grateful to be alongside you. If you're looking to dive deeper and connect with others who celebrate their true selves, we invite you to join our community. It's a virtual space for connection and accountability where you can share experiences and grow together. You can find the link in our bio. We can't wait to welcome you.
See you on the next one.